Egypt was once my home, I was a slave. Helpless in tinted Rome, love life did crave. But when I looked up to heaven's dome, Christ came to save. I'm living in Canaan now.
Living in Canaan now. Living on Canaan's side.
Egypt behind.
Crossed over Jordan wide.
Gladness to find.
My soul is satisfied.
No longer I am
blind.
Living with Jesus up in Canaan.
In Canaan now.
Down in the lowlands, drear, burdened with sin, my soul was filled with fear, darkness within, but Christ the Savior to me drew near, my heart to win. I'm living in Canaan now.
Living in Canaan now, living on Canaan's side.
Egypt behind,
crossed over Jordan wide,
gladness to find.
My soul is satisfied.
No longer I
am blind.
Living with Jesus up in Canaan.
In Canaan now.
Satan may have you bound with fetters strong. Look up to higher grounds. Will not be long till Christ the Savior your soul has found. You'll sing this song. I'm living in Canaan now.
Living in Canaan now. Living on Canaan's side.
Egypt behind.
Crossed over Jordan wide.
Gladness to find.
My soul is satisfied.
No longer
I am blind.
Living with Jesus up in Canaan.
In Canaan.
Job. All right. I enjoyed that. No trouble hearing it. Amen. That's good and bold. Good. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. So go to the book of Psalms. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, to the right a few pages, you go through Proverbs and you'll come to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I am not going to preach tonight. Now, don't get your hopes up. We're not going home yet. But I'm going to give a little pastoral talk tonight. Allow me that liberty, if you would, please. So if you found Ecclesiastes 7, let's stand together. I'm going to read one verse, very familiar. Pray, and we'll get into this. Verse number 8, where the Word of God says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, leaving home. Leaving home. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for the privilege to be in church. Thank you for the wonderful music we've been just privileged to be a part of in this service, whether we sang together or listened to people sing, the good violin special and these little youngins up here. God, just bless them. I pray, oh God, you put your hand on all the young people. Keep them in your care, please. Help them to make right choices and live for you. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll be with our church as we go through a little bit of a transition time with a good number of folks, young adults especially, leaving. And I just pray that you'll help them especially in this year. And we'll thank you for it. Help us tonight. Help me in these moments. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Pardon me. As mentioned this morning, 17 young adults are leaving home over the next 3 weeks or so to go back to or start college. More of those 17 are going for the first time as opposed to returning for a second, third, or fourth year. So I want to address tonight, I just gave a little pastoral talk, both students and the parents of those students in this message tonight. And you know what the truth of the matter is? You'd be unwise to tune it out because there's a lot of truth here. That's just good to hear truth, okay? Truth does us good. Before I get into the text, I want to say a word about taking kids to college, because in some cases, you know, leaving for school brings tears to students and or parents. And having your young adults leave your house is never easy, even when it's happening for a good reason. We took all six of our kids to college, one to Oklahoma City and five to Elgin. I remember tearing up every time we took one of our kids to college. I don't remember if they cried, but I know I did. If not in their presence, in the car as we were leaving for home, for sure. They were all excited to go to school. I remember our first one, Hannah. First one's difficult. I guess, I don't know if it was any more difficult, but it was the first time. And we spent the afternoon with the Halls, she and Vanessa, same age, and Vanessa Hall's going to school too. And so we spent the afternoon with the Halls, ate with them, and Hannah was going to stay at their house on the Friday night and then go to the college on Saturday, get her stuff placed. And so we're standing in the front yard, and I'm standing there like a baby. The tears rolled down, but Hannah's just excited as can be. And she just, you know, just, I'm crying. Well, honey, you're going to, yes, like, go home, get out of here, amen. But, you know, that's how it was. They were excited. I was not dry-eyed. But it is an exciting time. And it's natural for them at that age to look forward to going to a place and entering the next phase of their life. It's exciting for them to pursue either the first step in their career path or nail down a good Bible training for a year before going on to their career path. It will never be the thing to do for every single young adult. I would never say that. I would never say across the board it's the thing to do for every young adult. But it is the norm for the vast majority. And mom and dad, you know, you need to see it as your family expanding. You're not losing, potentially you're gaining. Because, you know, there's a good chance they'll meet the one that they are to marry in the next 3 to 4 years. Doesn't always happen that way. My wife and I are very close with a young lady who's 38 years of age, and she's never been married. But it looks like now God has brought somebody into her life. And pretty soon probably be getting married. And that happens. That happens, okay? But a lot of times it happens during the college years. Happened for me during the college year. Happened for all of our kids during the college years. You don't lose a son or a daughter when they marry. You gain a son or a daughter. You gain. And if God blesses the relationship with children, now you've gained more. Because grandkids are a blast. Amen. They're far better than kids, but you got to have kids first to have grandkids, all right? So you can't have one without the other. I'm being facetious, but honestly. So expansion is never easy, but it can be very good. Now, I did this some years ago, but this was years and years ago. Here's a rubber band, okay? That rubber band right there sitting on that pulpit is very comfortable. It's very comfortable. But it's not fulfilling its purpose. It's not made to sit like that. It's made to be stretched, to be expanded, for tension to be placed upon it, and then to put around a pack of papers or put around your Bible or something to keep things from falling apart. Now, it's doing what it was made to do when it's expanded. It's doing what it's made to do. There's stretching. There is tension. You know, it's nice, mom and dad, two little children, mom and dad, three kids, mom and dad, 4, 8, 10, whatever, you know. It's a nice little comfortable setting. But it was never intended for it to stay that way. It was always intended to expand. For the girls to take a husband, or be taken by a husband. And the man to take a wife. And you know, wring your hands and just moan and groan and cry, and I just can't believe this is happening. But that's what God intended for it to do. Okay? And yeah, you know, it's a little bit of stretching when you take a kid away to college. It's a little bit of tension. It hurts a little bit. But that's exactly how it's supposed to be. It's never easy to expand your family, but it is normal. And in the end, it's what a family is supposed to do. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. So, you know, yes, as you take your child to college, maybe for the first time, you know, wipe your tears, cry, you know, you come back and look at their empty room and it'll be like, you know, when you go off and come back home, it's never the same. It's never the same. And it takes the wind out of you. But you know what? It's an exciting thing. It's a good thing. And how it's supposed to be. So now let me give you, that's just a little, let me get a word of admonition tonight for students and parents. Solomon's pen was used to give us 3 books in the Old Testament, okay? Proverbs, a Song of Solomon, and this book, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, in some ways, is similar to Proverbs, but it uses contrasts to teach us lessons about wisdom. And that's what we have in verse number 8, okay? Here's a contrast between beginning and end, and a contrast between patience and pride. Now, the first phrase is very familiar to many of us, but there are really two lessons in this verse, and they're really they're kind of connected together. Now, here's the first lesson in verse number 8, and that is the end is better than the beginning. You see that in the first phrase. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. By the way, if the end of your marriage is not better than the beginning, something's gone haywire. It should be. No matter how many years you've been married, the end should be better than the beginning. As exciting as the beginning of your secondary education is, the ending is better. So those of you going off to school, finish what you start. Okay? Now, some of you are going off to a Bible college for 1 year. That's all right. Finish the year. Finish the year. You know, some of you, not everybody is made for a four-year degree. I get that. But if 1 year is your goal, finish your year. Others of you are going off, you know, for a four-year degree. And I just want to say tonight, finish your education. Finish what you start. Because better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I wish I could put on the screens up here the picture of my wife on graduation night back in 1980, May 1980, like May 24th, 25th, 26th, something like that, 1980, right before Memorial Day. It was Memorial Day weekend, Friday night, had graduation. The smile on her face on graduation night is bigger than the smile that she wore on wedding day. And that's truth. I mean, it's immense. It's just humongous. And some of you know the story. When she went to college, she didn't plan on finishing. She went to college. She planned on finding the man she was going to marry, getting it nailed down, going home, and working a job to help get ready for marriage. But maybe 10 months into our, or 9 months into our dating relationship, I became aware of that. And I just made the statement. I always figured the girl I married would finish college. And that became her new goal. Amen. So, and she finished. And she smiled. Humongous smile. You know, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. There's always a difference between the number of first-year students starting school and 4 years later, the number that finish. Starts out like this in the freshman year. Because so many don't finish. Not some plan 1 year. I get it. But I'm talking about some of those plan to go 4 years and they don't get it done. Now, at times, extreme circumstances make it impossible to finish. When I landed in Bible college, my division leader, Division 6, was Cloyd Helton. Cloyd Helton walked with a crutch and his body from his shoulders to his waistline was like this, like Charles Atlas. And from his waistline down, he either had polio or something as a kid. I forget what disease he had, but his legs were all crippled. In fact, I think one of his feet, he had a fake foot, kind of like Jack Lewis had. And because of the disease he had as a little boy, he's from Texas. And I think it was his junior year, might have been his sophomore year. It was my freshman year. I think it was his junior year. And he had to leave midway through his junior year because his dad, who was a big rancher in Texas. It was his dad, his mom, and his brother, and him, four. And his dad died suddenly and left his mother with this humongous ranch down in Texas. And his mother called and said, Cloyd, you got to come home. And he left. I would never, ever say that man did wrong for going home to help his mother. That's an extreme circumstance, okay? What is not necessary is to be kicked out because you break school rules. That's not necessary. Or you drop out to pursue other interests that are not in the will of God for your life. So finish. You'll be glad you did. And I will tell you, it just helps to establish a principle that you will live by the rest of your life. What is that principle? Finish what you start. Finish what you start. That's the principle. Okay, so the end is better than the beginning. And think about this, young people. If you want to end well, begin well. Because even though the end is better than the start, you want to start well. And more than likely, you're going to be homesick if you're going away for the first time. You're going to be homesick. You're going to miss your family. You're going to miss your house. You're going to miss your church. You're going to miss your way of life. You go from being a big fish in a small pond to being a small fish in a big pond. And you're going to be homesick. But give it some time and you'll be all right. It'll grow on you. And again, battling through some degree of difficulty to finish is good for you. Okay? And that's what Solomon wrote. The end is better than the beginning. So, whatever your intentions are, 1 year, 4 years, whatever college you're going to, finish. Finish. The end is better than the beginning. The second thing, the second lesson in this verse is the second part of the verse. And that's really where I want to spend the bulk of the time I'm going to take tonight. He said, secondly, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So, number one, the end is better than the beginning. Number two, a patient spirit is better than a proud spirit. Now, this bit of wisdom will help you extremely if you will practice it. And really, it ties in perfectly with the first half of the verse. To finish what you start usually requires a patient spirit. A patient spirit. You know, good endings are enhanced by good beginnings. And good beginnings require patience and humility. Young people, a proud and haughty spirit doesn't bode well for a good beginning. Now, if you have a patient spirit rather than a proud spirit, you're going to benefit and you're going to need it in these four areas. Is it four? I believe it's four. Number one, schedule. Schedule. College can be physically demanding. The schedule will stretch you. It'll stretch you. This is especially true if you have to work a job while you're in school, and most of you probably need to do that. And there's nothing wrong with working to help pay your way. In fact, I believe it's good for you. Okay? But I want to tell you, the college level expectations are a part of your school experience. And it's going to test you. You're going to be tested physically. Doing daily assignments, turning in weekly assignments, outside reading assignments, doing semester projects, studying for quizzes, tests, midterms is a step up from most of your high school class expectations. The bar is raised. It's college. See, you don't go to college and you get your syllabus on the first day and your teacher lays all this out for you and you go, I can't believe this, man. Good. It's college. It's not grade school. It's not high school. It's supposed to challenge you. It's supposed to stretch you. There are some classes at the college where I teach that are more difficult than others. Some of the professors, some of the teachers aren't quite as difficult as others. Some are pretty challenging. You can talk to some people that have been there, graduated. I'm sure other places too. So you've got this challenging academic load, and then you add to that working a job part-time or full-time. Whether it's 20 hours or 25 or 35 or 40. And then if you're in a church, if you're in a college that emphasizes church ministry, there are those expectations as well. And I'm going to tell you something. Learning to balance all of that takes patience. And if you're not patient, if you're haughty, you're going to have a difficult time. Difficult time. It takes a patient spirit. And here's just a suggestion to you. Give it some time and you will find that you will develop a routine that works for you and everything will be okay. But it may take you a week or three. It's going to take you more than a week. Well, I say a week. It's going to take you 3 weeks. It may take you a month to work your way into a routine where you are able to balance the academic part of it, the ministry part of it, the work part of it, and the responsibilities of the dorm, because they got to be cleaned. And it's just, it's a load sometimes to balance. But that's not bad for you, young person. That's good for you. And so give it some time and you'll do what, you know, what won't work for you. What won't work for you when you hit college is being lazy and wasting time. That's not going to work. That is not going to work. I am not saying to never have any downtime, is the norm. Never just relax. I'm not meaning that, but I am saying wasting time will definitely be a downfall. There are times when you need to make every half hour count, every hour count. And you've got to develop that routine. You know, when Dad, I don't know how this happens. Y'all know how, some of you know how it happens. So I opened my email yesterday morning, Saturday. That was the 14th of August. And I got an email from the cloud. How does the email send me a cloud? Or the cloud sent me an email, I should say, right? I don't even know how to say it. So I just get this thing and it said memories from August 14th. What kind of memories are you going to talk about? So open it up. Here's all these videos and pictures of Dad. Because that's when we brought Dad up to Bourbonnais in 2017 from Florida. And put him over here at Bickford House. And here were all these videos that I took. When I don't know if y'all remember or not. I had to stay with Dad for 7 days, day and night. And when he first got up here, and I forget who spelled me during church time. I did preach on Sunday. I don't know, but as soon as I was done here, I went over there. As soon as I came back, done something, I had to go back. And you know what? I don't regret that one bit. I don't regret all the times that I went to see Dad. And if you have a loved one that lands in a nursing home someday, the least you can do is go there and 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 go there. And so I remember it pricked my memory. And we're down in Florida, and we're getting ready to move Dad up here. And my uncle YT, Mom's brother, he and his wife Patsy, they kept her dad and her mom in their home all the way until they died. And so I was talking to YT about, you know, we were talking on the phone, and I said, you know, and this is what he told me. He said, Terry, he said, give yourself some time, you'll develop a routine on how to take care of your dad and see him. And once you find that routine, it'll work for you. And he was spot on. He nailed that. Because I got into a routine. And when they actually moved him over, it was beautiful that he was right between church and home over here at Bickford. And they moved him over here to Riverside Center on Burns Road. And I could come right down the road from our house there to Burns and go right across the street there and 45 and go spend a few minutes with Dad, swing by Arby's and pick him up a milkshake for a dollar. And he loved it. I did that so many times, the lady at 3 o'clock in the afternoon got to know me by name and started giving me the milkshakes. So I went by 5 or 6 times. No, I didn't know that. So we just went. So she started giving me the milkshakes. She said, what are you doing with these milkshakes? I'm taking them to my dad. He's over here at Alzheimer's wing. He loved those milkshakes. But my uncle was right. All the stuff we got to do. And all right. That's a proud spirit. Calm down. Be patient in spirit. Okay? Work through. This is not the last thing you're going to have to work through all your adult life. All right? No, you know, my plate's so full. Yeah, get used to it. One day you empty it, it'll fill back up. So just work through it, okay? The schedule will push you, but if you will exercise a patient spirit, you will be okay. Just exercise a patient spirit. And that's not just Terry Angel's philosophy. That's what God said here. God said the patient in spirit is, well, what that's talking about. What is that talking about? He's not talking about college. He's talking about a life lesson that applies across the board to everything. So it will help you with your schedule. Number two, having a patient spirit will help you with rules. Rules. Now, if you're going to secular college, I don't think there are any rules. But I think most of our kids are going to some kind of either Christian college or Bible college. And if you have a proud spirit, you will have a tough time adapting to the rules. A proud spirit questions every policy. A proud spirit questions every rule, every request. Why do I have to sign in? Why do we have to fill out this pass? Why is it necessary to have dorm check? Oh, why? Can I say something? I don't believe the school owes you an explanation for their policies and their rules. You ever been a college administrator? You ever been a college vice president? Anybody in here ever served as a college vice president? I didn't think so. then I'm not sure any of us are qualified to gripe about the rules and the policies. We have an administrator. We don't have that headache. So somebody has to set parameters. Somebody set policies. And I want to tell you something. They cannot make policies or rules based on an individual. They have to do what is best for the entire body of students. And you know what that means? You need pay. Well, it just seems like some of these rules are made for more. You might not need that rule, but 60% of the kids might need it. So be patient. Be patient. Be patient in your spirit. And parents, you know, parents need to understand that as well as students. The school cannot make policy based solely on your child. The body of students has to be considered. And, you know, where you folks are going, you know, it seems like there's a lot of rules in college. And in some cases, that's true. Just have a patient spirit and you're going to be okay. I don't think any of you are going to a school with a Jim Vineyard as an executive vice president. Because my first day in chapel was an eye-opener. Literally. And Max Helton, the guy who went on to become the chaplain for NASCAR, who prayed with Dale Earnhardt on the day Earnhardt was killed in Daytona. Max Helton stood up there with his green pass and his, well, this pass is for this thing. We're all sitting up there. You got to get this pass, this color right here. If you're going to do this, you got to fill out this one. And this yellow pass, you got to fill this out. If you're going to do this, this blue pass, you got to fill this out. And now we have a special. Somebody sings, and now Brother Vineyard comes to preach, and he comes up there, and he says, I want that boy sitting over there, right there, son, you, come up here. This kid stands up. We're all wondering, whoa. And he walks out, and he said, now bring your Bible with you. And the boy didn't have his Bible in chapel. He's a freshman. He said, son, get up here. This is a Bible college. We take our Bibles everywhere. We go to the bathroom with our Bibles in this Bible college. Won't you ever come to this chapel again without your Bible? Then he pulls out these passes. This guy's standing in front of how many students? 700? He said, what's this blue pass for? He said, what's this green pass for? He didn't believe it. He said, you want to know why you don't know what these passes are for? You are sleeping. The boy's just standing there. He says, now you can sleep during announcements, but you ain't going to sleep during my message. You're going to stand right here by me. And then his text, no lie, was Jonah chapter 1, when Jonah is in the belly of the boat. And what doest thou here, O thou sleeper? I kid you not. He's a pastor's son. A lot of folks have wanted the pastor's kids, hands off the pastor's kids. He didn't want to treat the pastor's kids bad. He's a pastor's son. Freshman. I call his name. And, man, I'm sitting out there thinking, I can never go to sleep. I got to keep my eyes open. You know that boy finished school? Amen. Yeah, he graduated with me and Joyce. Wow, man, I'd have got offended. I'd have told them what they could do with their school. I know. But some people have a little more patient spirit. Now, I don't think I would. But I'm not Brother Vineyard. I'm not Jim Vineyard. And he don't do that anymore either. He's in heaven now. Maybe God called Vineyard to the throne. Vineyard, stand. You're going to give it. I don't know. But Just have a patient spirit, okay? Just have a patient spirit with the rules. I'll understand. You don't have to. Okay? Just be patient spirit. Schedule, rules. A patient spirit will help you when it comes to friends. If you have a proud spirit and you throw away all you've been taught about right from wrong, it will show up in the choice of your friends. It's where it'll show up. Heads up, but not everybody in Bible college is a sold-out, committed Christian. Some are there because their parents sent them. Others are there because they got nothing better to do. So you need to be patient in spirit when it comes to choosing your close friends. Unless you know the person from before, close friends aren't made in the first 5 days. Because it takes longer than that to figure out what somebody's really like. And your choice of friends reveals what you are. Okay? Water finds its own level. Water finds its own level. I've said before, when I went off to Bible college, I knew nobody, nobody in the school or in the church. Nobody. I will tell you what, I'm not sure, but that wasn't better. My closest friends were not, friendships were not made immediately. And those friendships were built over time, and they've lasted. Jim Blaylock and I are still very close. We hardly ever see each other. We hardly ever talk. But when we do, we just pick up like old times. He texted me out of the blue the other day, asked for a phone number. Love you, buddy. I texted him back, said, love you too. We'll exchange pictures. In January, he'll send me a picture of southern Florida. The sky is blue and all that. Just studying my Bible, studying for the message on Sunday. Sitting on the beach or condo looking out over the beach. So I'll send him a page of 8 feet of snow, a picture of 8 feet of snow. Missing you too, amen. But anyway, still good friends. A couple of my close, Mike Ray, still a close friend. Text out of the blue. Being haughty and careless with your choice of friends can be devastating. So be patient in spirit. Be patient in spirit. When it comes to friendships, be patient in spirit. Look, if you misjudge somebody's character and you started making a friendship with them, and then you find out after about 3 weeks, oh boy, this is not good. You need to break it off. You hang out with skunks, you'll start smelling like one. So you got to be careful with your choice of friends. Okay? Got to be careful. Be patient. Be patient. And then, lastly, let me just say, rules, a schedule, rules, friends, and dating. Dating. And it's that time. You know, most of you have avoided the trap of dating in high school. Now the time has come to explore the horizon. And parents, you can't be against that. That's got to start sometime. Somewhere, okay? But, be very patient in spirit in this area. You better be patient in spirit when it comes to dating, okay? Some of you are going off to college interested in each other. You're leaving here interested in each other. Now, there's nothing wrong with that as long as it doesn't interfere with you following the will of God for your life, okay? And I tell you this, I have seen dating couples isolate themselves. They get so with each other that they isolate themselves from the rest of the school. They isolate themselves from the activities. They isolate themselves from meeting new friends. They isolate themselves from getting involved in group activities. And I tell you what, they miss out on an important part of school life. You got to be careful. Especially if you're going off interested in each other from this place. That you just don't go somewhere to school and just kind of hole up together and isolate yourself and nothing to do with anybody else in the school. It's just me and you. That's not good. That's not healthy. And to think that you don't need any of the rest of, I don't need any of the rest of these people. I'm all right. That's a proud spirit. That's a proud spirit. So be patient in arriving at the right person. That's important. Be patient at arriving. You're involving your parents. You're involving those. Be patient when you find the right person. That's going to be important. Listen, I've done this before, but for sake of just the necessity, I'm going to do it again. If this speaker right here is the date that you and your future wife or husband meet and get interested in each other and start kind of a relationship of dating each other, if this is where you start, and out here somewhere, this speaker represents the date of your wedding day. You've got to be careful that you don't peak emotionally here. You've got to be careful that you don't peak emotionally here. You need to gauge that relationship so that you peak with your emotion for each other on your wedding day. And then you have the legal right and responsibility and privilege to express those emotions after you're married, not before. What happens is those emotions go unguarded. Your time together goes unguarded. You isolate yourselves from everybody else, and it's just me and her, me and him, and it's just us two. And we're not, the rest of the college can just, you do what they want to do, but it's just us. And together, and the opportunities to be together, either in person or this way, are through the roof. Communication is so much more available, but so easy. I've said before, when I was dating her, to talk to her, I had to go to the wash where the washing machines were and put quarters in a payphone with an 18-inch cord and lean over the washing machine and talk to her. It was $2 for 2 minutes, and then every minute was another quarter or whatever it was. Keep feeding quarters in there. And I only talked to her for about 8 minutes or so. I don't know if that was, it wasn't long. And that was it during the summer. That was all. No FaceTime. No, none of that. No cell phone. No lay in the bed and talk till 4 o'clock in the morning. Wasn't able to. But you got all the advancements of this technology that allow you the opportunity just to be together, to be together, be together, be together. And then, whoops, man, we are so emotionally tense. And our wedding is not till there. We got a year and a half to go. You know what happens? Couples mess up or couples break up. Because it engages their emotions. So if you get into a relationship, you know, if you get into a relationship your freshman year and you're going to graduate, I mean, you know, I am not opposed to getting married between your junior and sophomore year. That's worked for a lot of people. But, you know, if you're not, some people say, we're not going to get married till we graduate. And you start dating your freshman year and you're 4 years away. You better be patient. Parents, they may need some help with this. You better be patient. Patient in spirit. So I don't know what to do. They're adults. They still come home to your house? They come home to your house. You're the parent. Set the rules. Isaiah started dating. I said, you can talk on the phone this amount of time. And if you talk on the phone at night this amount of time, you'd be sitting in a chair. You'd be in the kitchen at the chair. You're sitting in the chair in the great room. You're not laying in your bed talking on the phone. At 11 o'clock at night, what are you doing? I'm just laying here in the bed. Oh, that opens the door. Yes, sir. Even if it doesn't come out of your mouth, you got to fight your mind now. Dads, moms, they may need some help with this. You got to be patient. In spirit. Patient in spirit. A patient spirit says, teach me, help me. A proud spirit says, I got this, leave me alone. Patient spirit. I didn't say it, God said it. The patient in spirit is better than the proud spirit. When it comes to schedule, have a patient spirit. When it comes to the rules, have a patient spirit. When it comes to friends, have a patient spirit. When it comes to dating, have a patient spirit. And let me say this, and I'm shutting it off. As you go away, do not forget your parents. Don't forget them. As easy as it is to call, you ought to be ringing them up. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. Don't forget your parents. Don't forget your God. Don't forget your God, okay? So I'll ask you a question tonight. Are you leaving home patient in spirit or proud in spirit? How are you leaving? Because one is better than the other. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Don't leave haughty. Leave humble. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege to pastor such a church. I thank you for the privilege to have young people going off to school, leaving home. I pray for them to have a wonderful, wonderful year. For those who are returning, bless them, O Lord. For those who are going for the first time, I pray, God, that you'll give them grace. And Lord, may all of them, all 17 of them, go away with a patient spirit, planning to finish what they start for your honor and your glory, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Across the board tonight, men, women, mom, dad, grandparents, children, teenagers, young adults going to Bible college, across the board. Something was said tonight intended for the young adults going to college, but the Spirit of God used it to speak to my heart definitively about something. So I need to acknowledge that tonight, that God spoke to me about something definitively in this circuit. I see your hand on that if you sit here tonight. God bless you. I appreciate it. That's wonderful. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, now's the time to get saved, baptized. The altar is open. The piano's plays. You obey the Lord tonight. You obey the Lord tonight. You young adults that are going away to school, God bless you. Why don't you come and just ask God to give you a patient spirit. Patient spirit. The wise man speaking, the man that God gave wisdom to above all other men on the face of the earth, the man that people came to from all over the known world back then to gain wisdom, and God put it in his book for us. God gave it to him. And that wise man said, it's better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. As you leave home, plan to finish. Just be patient in your spirit. Let God bring all this to pass in your life. Our Father, we're grateful for your word, grateful for your wisdom, grateful for your book. It guides us through life. Please guide these young adults. Go with them. God, may they have a great, great year, whether it's their first or their fourth or in between. May they do your will, honor you with their patient spirit. And Lord, give them the wherewithal to finish what they start. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Ryan and Sarah, write down.